Blog Talk Radio.
Of the Mark Alert. It's the Everything Wrestling Show. This is the show where we talk about all wrestling, breaking news, and I promise we even have special guests with special episodes with special guests. Messing up out of the gate. I am your host, Ben McPhee, a.k.a. the Fake Fan Hitman, a.k.a. the Original Mark. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at FakeFanHitman3 and follow me on Instagram at FakeFanHitman. Today we have a special 30-minute episode with my special guest, Gavin Glass, an indie prospect. Be sure to follow him on Instagram at GavinGlass_pro. How are we doing today, Gavin?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. We really, really appreciate it. Not a lot of people know who you are and everything, so we're going to do one of those original interviews. This is the first podcast show he's ever been on, so we're just going to do the background and everything. So why don't you just tell the fans out there, you know, your age and what got you into wrestling as a fan?
All right. I am 17 years old. I'm from upstate New York. And this is like where it all started, isn't it? I started watching wrestling. You've heard it 100 times pretty much as long as I can remember. I can't really remember a time where I wasn't watching wrestling. If I could, it's probably a really bad time in my life. Yeah, I've been a fan my entire life.
What would you say would be like your first wrestling memory as a kid? Like, what's the first thing that you remember, like liking wrestling or anything like that?
All right, the first memory would probably have to be. This is a hard one. Probably Angle Lesnar at WrestleMania 19.
Oh, okay.
If I'm correct.
Were you there? Were you watching it with the family? Or were you guys having a WrestleMania
watched
party?
It on
or
paper.
What was going on?
Yep, watched it on pay-per-view.
Were you with your family? Or?
Yep, with the family, watching on pay-per-view. It was probably my first pay-per-view.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Yeah, that was a really good match. I mean, very good answer. If that made you a fan, you know what I'm saying? Because Lesnar Angle, they put on a freaking show.
They always do.
Yeah. From there, being a fan, what actually made you want to, like, get into the sport to become a professional wrestler?
From watching it from that moment on and studying it and just being more fascinated every time I watched it and just wondering how these guys go out there and put their bodies on the line in front of all these people for fun,
yeah.
Fascinated me. And I started looking at wrestling schools when I was like 12 years old. I started looking at schools. I was bugging all these promoters and stuff about the local guys around here, and I started asking, what's the youngest you start training? And all of them said 16. I was like, oh, being 12 years old, that was like such a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, is there anything else I can do? Can I come to the shows? Can I help out anything? And they're like, wait till you're 16, and then we'll talk. So I did that. Actually, I was 15. I found this school called Pier 6 Wrestling, and I messaged a promoter. I said, can I come down and start training with you guys. And he said, yeah, come on down. We'll put you through a tryout. We'll see how you do and see if you're trainable. So that was my moment, and I had to bug my parents about it. Team at the time, I had to bug them.
Yeah.
Drive me 45 minutes away every single week, every Sunday, and pay for my training. Eventually, they said, all right, you've tried every single other sport in the book and it didn't work for you, so they probably thought, you're going to go there, you're going to get hurt the first time, well, you'll never have to go back. So they took me to my first practice. I had my tryout. The trainer at the time was a varsity football coach, so he treated the sport exactly how he treated his football practices. So we went to the tryout. I did good, I guess, for a 15-year-old. I went to the tryout. He said I did good. Then it snowballed from there, and I started going every single week. Could never get enough of it, and here I am over a year later. Still doing it.
Very, very nice. So they still have to drive you 45 minutes every week?
Yep, 45 minutes there and back.
Well, that's dedication, though. And like you were saying, you were into it at such a young age, at the age of 12, that usually like kids, you know, because I know there's a lot of kids and back in my generation and nowadays generations that are still doing, you know, the trampoline wrestling and having fun with it on the side. And then there's those kids, you know, that are actually doing that to get to the next angle and next level and stuff like that. And you at 12 years old sounded like you were, like, legitimately wanted to be a wrestler, not just one of those, you know, young fans that thought it was something, you know, that they want to do. Because in my opinion, there's those kids that really want to be wrestlers just because, you know, they love the awe, they love the moves, they love all that. And then there's the guys that are wrestlers and that want to be wrestlers, like it sounds like where you're coming from, that – like all that stuff too, yeah, it draws you in, but you actually want to know the, you know, physicality behind it. How do you do it? Like the behind the scenes stuff. And it's not like you want to know the behind scenes stuff. It's like you actually want to do the behind scenes stuff, behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I did do the trampoline wrestling for a little bit. Like it wasn't like a backyard wrestling set or anything. I'm just saying, like
and
my friends would go around, and of course we did that. We were kids, and I had nothing else to do. But
yeah,
I did.
And that's a good outlet. You know what I'm saying? Like I understand that.
Yeah. So me and my friends, we messed around on the trampoline and stuff, and I wasn't just like one of those guys who did, let's put each other through flaming tables, tacks, and see what we can do this time. I was actually, I'm kind of weird. Like my friends wanted to do all these like 450 splashes and stuff off the trampoline. I was more like tentacle based and wanted to actually learn how to do things correctly.
Yeah. You actually wanted to like learn the moves. Like the actual technical.
Yep, I
want
to learn correctly.
So we all went to the high flying stuff.
Yep.
Well, and that's very smart. Like a true wrestler too. Like you want to learn like the Bret Hart, the Daniel Bryan, the Ric Flair, like Chris Benoit. You want to learn the technical stuff. Then you can go up to, you know, the Rick Shays and the Humberto Guerreros and Rey Mysterios, and then you can get into the like high flying stuff. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I did And being such a young age, I think it's going to help me out in the long run for learning at such a young age and being able to know the stuff I know now, just getting the basics down now. So when I get older, it'll be a lot easier for me.
Yeah.
Compared to some people who start in their mid-20s, 30s, and are just starting out square one. That makes
sense. Yeah, but see, you're still at that dedication angle. Like if you're so dedicated at 12 and you had to wait that, you know, 4 years, and you said you only had to wait, what, 3, to get into that area, that's still a long time to wait, especially for being a kid. And now, you know, you're not a kid, but you're still in that younger ground. But you're also in that ground where a lot of these wrestlers are coming up nowadays, where if you have the motivation, you have the dedication, you can really, you know, get into the sport. And I'm a big, you know, Mark, considering as far as indie wrestling goes, because I like – indie wrestling is just as much as I do like heavy professional, you know, televised wrestling. But I also like discovering those wrestlers or talking to people that haven't really made it yet or aren't even really familiar in the indie circuit, let alone in the professional circuit. And you always seem like that kid ever since we've been talking on Instagram and everything. And that's why, again, I'm glad to have you on today, because it seems like you are exactly in that category and exactly in that class of, like, the JT Dunns and those, you know, the new up-and-comers, like – not necessarily, I was going to say Zack Sabre Jr., but that guy has been around for a long time. A lot of people don't realize how long he's been around. But guys like that that just have the dedication and stuff that want to do this are the ones that, you know, and you're starting at that perfect, crisp age, you know, like you wanted to do it since you were 12 and now you're 17. By the time, you know, you're 21, 22, and if you're still in it, you know what I'm saying, who knows, you know, what's your future in hold, you know?
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, look at these, the JT Dunn, the Davis Stars, all these guys, they've been wrestling for a while, and people don't know that because they're just starting to get there. They're just starting to break out in the last 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And they all start at a young age, and they've been doing it for this long, and it's all about time. You gotta be patient in the sport, and you gotta know when to do things and what to do, and your time will come.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and a perfect example, too, for a lot of people that don't understand what we're talking about, is, and I'm not ripping on a fan base here, but it is going to kind of come off that way, but I'm not, you know, trying to be negative. I'm just using this as a great example. But it's like the WWE fanboys and the WWE, like, fanboy marks and stuff like that, whenever a new wrestler comes in that they've never heard of because they choose to only watch WWE, and I'm not putting them down for that, but then when someone comes in, it's like the whole NBA thing, NFL, you can do this all the way around the board. You can do this with mixed martial arts or whatever when someone goes in the UFC and they're like, who is this guy? And it's like, he didn't just magically get picked out of the crowd because he had the look or someone found out he could fight. He's been fighting on the independent circuit for like 15 years. Like, he's worked his way up to this point. Same thing with the WWE when, like, Finn Balor's come in and stuff like that. They weren't just, you know, sitting out there. And then, you know, of course, nowadays, everyone always doesn't want to admit that. Everyone always has to be like, oh, I've been a fan of his for years. And it's like, you know you haven't. Like, and you can always call the fake ones out. That's why I am the fake fan hitman, because I just like honesty. You have to be honest with yourself. And I guarantee you, you keep on the tunnel you're going, you're going to end up in the big time one day, and someone's going to be like, oh, yeah, I know him. And it's going to be like, you know, he's been wrestling since he was like 17 and blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, no, he's only been around for this or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But that's literally what happens, like with the Kevin Owens and all these guys. Everyone wants to jump on their bandwagon so fast. Same thing happened with the two names we were just talking about just a little bit ago, David Starr and JT Dunn. You know, Juicy Product, no one really knew who they were. I saw David Starr wrestle for a little bit. I really liked his wrestling. Like, the dude can wrestle, and he's, you know, got his tattoo on his leg from his wrestling alma mater or whatever. But, definitely. I mean, he can actually wrestle. Like, he's a wrestler. So I knew who he was before JT Dunn, and everyone always acts like they knew who, like, JT Dunn was first and all this other stuff. And one of my buddies on Instagram, Mac, he actually introduced me to JT Dunn right before they became Juicy Product. Like, I saw their singles match between one another, and then after that, you know, DJ Hyde made him tag team. Like, all that history and stuff. But I'm not going to sit here and, you know, be one of those guys that I've even gotten a fight with a few people on Instagram saying, you know, oh, you act like you're this big smart. I'm like, no, I'm just, this is who I am. This is how long I've known him. And then freaking, everyone's always like, oh, I've been following him for this. The best is when someone told me they were following somebody, and then I asked the actual wrestler how long they've been wrestling, and they said they've only been, like, professional wrestling for, like, 3 years, and the one guy said they've been following him for, like, 10 years. So, and this isn't negativity. Like, people are trying to, like, know everything about these guys nowadays. If you're in the spotlight, they want to know about you. They want to pretend they've been your fan for a long time. So I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just pisses me off when people lie and are fake. But, I mean, that could be you one day, too. People could be like, oh, yeah, I've known Adam Glenn since he was wrestling since he was 13, or, you know, what? Try and pull some shit out of their hat, and you're going to be like, you weren't around? Wait a minute, I wasn't even professional until I was, like, this age or whatever, you know. But I think on that whole thing, like you said, with the spotlight and finding your own thing, everybody wants to try and get to, you know who you are. And this is a perfect spotlight, you know, having this little shoot interview, and or not even a shoot interview because it's not negative or anything. But, you know, this little interview and stuff like that. But, like we were going back to, those guys like Juicy Product and stuff, they've been at it for so long, and they're just now getting their name out there. You seem like you've been going at it for, what'd you say, 5 years now, total, and, you know, wrestling for a year and a half. But you're so motivated, and I really think the motivation and the dedication will get you, you know, where you want to be in the long run. And what are your long-term goals like? I mean, I know a lot of guys that just want to do, they want to go as far as indie and just be a really popular indie guy. Like, you know, Owen and, you know, Steam wanted to do that, and then he realized the bigger echelon was out there. So as of right now, what are your major, major long-term goals as far as the wrestling world goes?
Well, I would be pretty stupid if I said that I didn't want to go to WWE, because that's, everybody's in this business because of the WWE, because that's what they grew up watching. That's what everybody knows. It's WWE is like McDonald's. Everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows who's there. Everyone knows who John Cena is. It's because they're the grand stage. And obviously, you mentioned Hero and Steen. They said they wanted to be top indie guys, but they wouldn't have taken the job if they didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Which they both did.
100%. No, I completely understand where you're coming from on that level. Because it's one of those things, even like Triple H always says, like, if you don't want to be the man and you don't want to be the champ, like, why are you in the sport? You can have your minor goals and say you just want to be an indie god, but once you get offered the WWE job, I mean, unlike, you know, the Young Bucks and other teams, that, I mean, if you don't feel like you have that push left in you anymore and you don't feel like the money's worth it, then, I mean, don't do it, obviously, but you're too young to just be in it for the money. Let's talk about some of your matches, because I've seen, you know, some matches out there, but, you know, you're not really, like, an easy guy to find a lot of his matches. So do you have a, like, certain internet sites or anything you want to blast out there besides YouTube or YouTube as well, where fans can watch some of your matches? And let's talk about a couple of your favorite matches as well.
A lot of my matches haven't been released on tape. There is footage of them, but I don't even have a hold of it, honestly. But
okay.
I'm not even just to plug myself, I'm going to say, go to YouTube, search Pure Six Wrestling, watch all their stuff, search Empire State Wrestling, watch all their stuff. They're two companies that are growing very, very fast, and they should be companies to look out for. Like, ESW is going to be huge this year. Like, the past 2 years, they've had some great, great stars, put on some great seminars for me to learn from. Like, thanks to them, I've learned from some of the best in the business, and I will never stop promoting that company, and I love that company.
Yeah, very good. That's awesome. And again, that's motivation too, and like, or not motivation, but dedication to where you've come from, you know, never forgetting where you came from. I've even, you know, came a fan of them through you, because like I said, I love learning all the indie schools and all that stuff, and, you know, HOG and all the upcoming wrestling classes, because they just teach so much to the youth while giving back, you know, great shows from the veteran angle. I've seen you have some four ways. I've seen you have some, you know, certain matches, and there's been talk through you of, you know, maybe like between your character being face heel. Can you go into that at all? Or is there, or, you know, am I like being spoiler alert? Or
well, I don't know who's listening right now, but, yeah, there's a lot of stuff went down in the past year where I haven't been wrestling since I haven't had a professional match since probably June.
Okay.
So it's been quite some time. But there's stuff going on for me where me and the owner of Pier 6, we've been talking some stuff. We're going to make my comeback good, what it should be, and 2015 should be the year of Gavin Glass, hopefully.
Sweet, sweet. Now, a lot of people that don't know, like me and you talk a lot, and I'm like a huge wrestling fan, and my biggest thing with wrestlers and like companies and stuff like that, and I'm sure this goes around a lot because, you know, it's a thing, but is I hate seeing like the same moves in one company, or I hate people using the same stuff, so I like always love, you know, me and you, you know, I'm letting the fans know because they don't know, but you know what I'm talking about, Gavin. But we've had many conversations about movesets and finishers, and you have your own set moveset right now with some finishers as well. Can you tell the fans what those are?
Okay, my top move, I call it the glass cutter. It's, if you're familiar with the diamond dust, it's pretty much a front flip cutter off the top rope. It's pretty different, and I'm pretty sure Stardust has used it. I'm pretty sure Charlotte uses it in NXT, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and if you even want to go old school, like, people can look up when, like, Funaki and, like, used to be in the WWE.
Yep.
That was finisher for a while, yeah.
Yep, it's not a move you see a lot, but it's different, so I like to use it. Another move I do this is actually pretty funny. I do that ripcord elbow thing.
Okay.
Right. I'm pretty sure we talked about that, right? And then Michael Elgin started using it like the next like few months after me, and actually started calling it the ripcord. So I'm like, oh, come on. So I don't use that as much anymore. But that was my original finisher until Michael Elgin took it. Which obviously people are like, oh yeah, Michael Elgin stole it from Gavin Glass. No, they're gonna.
Yeah,
Michael
right. They're going to think you stole it from
him. It's Michael Elgin's move now. I'm not going to argue. I'm starting to break out of my shell a little bit as far as doing more things in the ring that I'm becoming more comfortable doing. Obviously, with my size, I'm 6 foot, 155 pounds. People are going to expect me to fly off the ropes and stuff. So I'm starting to break out of my shell as far as that stuff goes. I'm starting to learn how to do the Lucha Libre style. I'm starting to learn how to do suicide dives, planches, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
My trainer, Jordan Lennox, he helps me a lot with that. He's a short, stocky guy, but he can move around the ring. He can do flips and twirls like it's his job. So he's helped me a lot like with that stuff. And as far as my style, it's very technical, lots of kicks, and I don't like to steal things and steal people's movesets or anything, but obviously everything in professional wrestling is taken from somewhere else. But
yeah.
My style like mirrors a Zack Sabre Jr. or a Noam Dar. Like I really like that British technical style.
Yeah.
But I like to, like I'm a hybrid, I like to throw in a bunch of different things and make it matches fun to watch, because on a wrestling show you're going to have all those different kind of fans who like all the different stuff, and usually you have different matches to fit that stuff. You'll have like a lucha match, you'll have a crowd based match, you'll have like your big guy match, but I like to combine all that stuff all in the one match, so it's,
yeah,
it gives people something cool to watch.
See, that's awesome, and that's a really good answer too, because like a lot of people, there is a lot of wrestlers out there that do try and incorporate it all, like an UHA Nation and stuff like that. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that just can't. And like you said, a Zack Sabre Jr., Noam Arm and stuff like that. And even like a Kyle O'Reilly, because I've seen some of your matches too, because you can incorporate like, you know, knees and, you know, the mixed martial art angle as well. Because I think a lot, like you were saying, you have the frame, so people are going to expect you to fly around and stuff. You can do that if you want, obviously. And like you said, it's the fun stuff. But at the same time, the Zack Sabres and the Kyle O'Reilly and stuff like that, they've proven that you don't necessarily have to do the high-flying stuff with a body build, you know, like your guys.
Exactly. Like, you see Zack Sabre Jr., he's probably 6 foot, 175 pounds maybe, and
yeah,
he's not a big guy at all, but you don't see him doing 450s, 630s off the top rope. I don't think I've ever seen him go to the top rope in my life, honestly, but he keeps it down mat-based. He's really good at what he does, and that's why he is where he is, because he's good at the basics. He knows what he's doing as far as technical wrestling goes, and that's why he's a huge star, not only in the UK, but in Japan as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and a lot of people don't realize he's been fighting for a long time. Like, he's fought in, you know, like, Bryan Danielson and stuff like that, and TJP, I think, in, like, 2009, 2010. And you were saying he's 170 pounds. Now, in those matches, he wasn't necessarily that, you know, weight. Even when he fought Nakamura in, I think it was Revolution Pro or whatever, and that wasn't even that long ago. Like, last year, it was when Devitt fought Cole. He still wasn't even packing on as much weight as he is now. And, like, when he fought Davey Richards in, like, 2011 and Chris Hero, and he's fought in some names. And all those times, like, he was fighting all those names before he was even discovered. And a lot of people didn't even discover Sabre until, what, Battle of Los Angeles this last year, you know, to each your own. Well, he puts on that kind of a match with Adam Cole, it'd get on any wrestling fan's radar, fair enough. But like you were saying, he is like this, you know, 6 whatever and 110 pounds now. But when he was doing it, he was your size. He was, you know, packing that 6 foot, do that 155 pounds, and he was wrestling those names I just mentioned. So the future's really bright for you. You sound like you have a really positive attitude when it comes to wrestling. Ever since me and you first started talking on Instagram, there was just something about you. I could tell you have that spark. You have that, you know, it's that little bit of an it factor. Like, you just have to, you know, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be confident, not cocky, but you have to be that middle, like that cocky Dan. I always call it like you have to have that combo meal where you have to believe in yourself more than anybody else does. And it sounds like you have some good fans and support, and you have good family support and everything. You seem to be having a good following on Instagram and your social media level. I'm going to give the last few minutes to you to thank anybody's sponsors, anybody personal, any family, anybody you want to thank or give a shout-out to on the show, feel free. And, again, I really thank you for coming on today. That was Gavin Glass. Be sure to follow him on Instagram at GavinGlass_pro.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Yeah, I'd like to thank my best friend Jake Miller for pushing me through it, getting me into weights, getting me big, trying to get me into that wrestling mold. I'd like to thank my parents, obviously, for letting me live out my dream and putting up with me and driving me the long distance to practice every week. I'd like to thank all my followers on Instagram because they've been really supportive of me, and they seem to enjoy what I do, and they enjoy what I post. So I'll keep that coming for you guys. I think that's pretty much it. Thanks, everyone.
Do you want to thank any wrestling coaches or any camps or anything like that?
Yep, of course. The list would go on and on with the people from wrestling. I've made so many friends in just the last year, just the people I've watched in the seats at independent shows. Now I'm sharing locker rooms with them, sharing locker rooms with Adam Cole, Kevin Steen, Steve Corino, all these guys that have helped me in just 3 hours of doing a seminar. It actually gave me a whole new look on the sport and how to go about living my dream, and just can't thank them enough.
Again, we appreciate you coming on today, and that was a really good interview. And if anybody wants the link to the show, it's on the bio page of my Instagram at FakeFanHitman. Follow me on Twitter as well at FakeFanHitman3. I always pick a good freaking moniker for myself or a handle, and then I can't even get all tongue-tied. But anyways, appreciate everybody for listening in today. Hope everyone enjoyed this special Saturday edition of the Mark Alert. We will be back next week. I'm going to try and get at least a couple days a week going on or something. Got to fit around the schedule. And just remember, if you can't take that bump, deal it.